Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, this is a Sound Health Options Direction for Truth show with Richard Talk to Me Guy and Sherry Edwards. Good evening, Sherry.
Good evening, Richard. It's great to be here, and we are going to be simultaneously broadcasting this evening. So if you have questions, you can ask that through Sound Health Options Radio tab or through Blog Talk Radio over there with Richard in California. We have a very special guest, a wonderful guest. I recently met this man. He's a physician and a psychiatrist, Dr. Steve Hardwanger. I was at a total disadvantage when we met because he knew about me and I didn't know a thing about him. I'd never met him before, only when I looked at his curriculum vitae, which is many, many pages long. We had been in the same company at the same places at the same time, but I had just never met him until recently when I was doing a demonstration for a group of wellness providers and showing people what could happen with bioacoustics that most of our audience is familiar with. So as all of these reports were popping out of the computer, Dr. Hardwanger would take one of them and look at the paperwork and begin to explain how all the pieces put together based on this nutrition and that protein and this gene, and I was just flabbergasted. He was able to explain things that I hadn't even put into words before in any way. So I invited him to bring all of his brilliantness and share with us information about bioacoustics, biofields, biomedicine, energy medicine, a lot of really great things that he's going to bring out in a few minutes as soon as Richard and I do a couple of announcements. Richard, do you have any announcements?
I know this is going to shock everybody, but I have no announcements. I know I've been on such a tear lately. Well, actually, no, I can't help myself. I will sort of pop back. I won't go through them all, but on Sunday I rattled off a bunch of things that occurred after Trump handed the pen to the head of Dow Chemical, to the CEO of Dow Chemical. Since then, you know, doing things like stopping the satellites that are monitoring climate change, reducing climate education by 88%, basically eliminating any kind of defense fund for the EPA, you know, doing pretty much everything they can and handing the keys to. It was almost like a Saturday Night Live thing to see that photograph of him handing the pen to the head of Dow Chemical. I mean, really? So that leads me to, I think the conversation that we're going to have is so important because it's really been ramped up. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to have the strongest immune systems we can have because our environment is going to become more hostile to our immune systems, in my opinion.
And I don't know which direction that healthcare is going to take, but I want to be prepared just in case. So I've got a couple of things from the audience real quick. People ask us, what are the sounds that are used to put out fires? And I don't know if any of you ever heard this, but they do. We're showing this over here on Blog Talk Radio. Let me see if I can get another sound of it. There, it's a really oddball sound. Here we go. And I will put the information in the chat for all of you. So that's how they're putting out fires with a big buckety thing that puts out a sound. And It is an A sharp and a D sharp together. And I think that's an incredibly important thing, especially for people in California. If you can just put those sounds together and put out a fire, you know, how many thousands of acres have been burnt and ruined? Well, not ruined, but houses ruined, because the forest will grow back, the house won't. But an A-sharp and a D-sharp together for all of you. We are being sponsored this evening by two different softwares that we're going to give away to the public. There's a lot of announcements out that Fukushima is raining down much more radiation on us than they're telling us, and it's making us ill. It's disturbing our biofield. It's poisoning us. So if you want to go to soundhealthoptions.com to downloads and radiation, the software is free for you there. There's videos, there's textbooks. So we'll be giving away that radiation software probably for the next 30 days or so at least. And there are videos, demonstration, and instructional ones there for you to use. The other thing is Gardasil. Gardasil is becoming very unpopular in the rest of the world, even though it's mandated by law for children in California. Young girls, young boys down to 9 years old, and girls starting at 12 years old. And we've put this article out many times over the past few years that Gardasil is really a fertility, and I should say anti-fertility project. Mm. And so we get a lot of people in the clinic who can't conceive, and we traced it back to Gardasil. We just had a lady today just traced it back to a DPT shot, diphtheria, tetanus, DP, pertussis shot. So there's a lot of things that we can go back and look at these vaccines. I don't know if we're going to get into that this evening. I'm going to hurry through something that I think is really interesting. Our keynote is up, and it talks a bit about pyruvate, which has to deal with fibromyalgia. And two or three times this week we have run into pyruvate being in stress, and we have also have it in our keynote that pyruvate, that has a lot to do with the chemical energy system of the body, is in stress. Now, I wrote this column over the weekend, and we just ran into these people in the last couple of days. And as a preliminary introduction to our guests, we have put up a, I don't know what this is, a photo by Bruce Lipton that says, "The moment you change your perception is the moment you rewrite the chemistry of your body." And we were talking backstage about this and how important that sentence is. So, Richard, would you introduce our guest so we can get on with the show?
Absolutely. I would be delighted. This is kind of long, but it really, all this information is really, it's so great to see this kind of, you know, background and hear him talk the way he does, in the sense of the areas that he's, you know, Stephen's going to be talking about. After earning a BS in professional chemistry in 1975 from Valdosta State College in Valdosta, Georgia, Steve Haltenwanger, MD, attended the Medical College of Georgia. While there, he completed medical school and a one-year fellowship in pathology. He graduated from Medical College of Georgia with an MD degree in 1980. He completed a psychiatry and a neurology residency at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine in 1984. He was board certified in psychiatry and neurology in 1985. In 2003, he became a certified clinical nutritionist. He currently is a member of the Scientific Council of the International and American Association of Clinical Nutritionists. Dr. Haltenwanger was the last known physician to study with the world-renowned German internist, scientist, and nutrient developer Hans A. Nieper, M.D., to advance his knowledge of treatment of neurological conditions, cancer, anti-aging, and regeneration. He's done research on the effects of phototherapy, magnetic fields, and sound on health. As magnetic resonance, light, and sound all affect the body in various ways, through the same cellular frequency windows. Dr. Haltenwanger has researched the correlation of the frequencies emitted by an individual's voice with internal physiological states, nutritional and toxic states, status, and dysfunctions. He has an interest in using the sound of the voice to determine what chemical compounds are present in the body. Dr. Haltenbanger passed research in combining electromagnetic, photonic, and sound treatments with nutritional supplementation has led him to giving lectures in 15 countries. There's a lot of great lectures by Dr. Haltenbanger on YouTube. I'm just saying. Good evening or good afternoon, Dr. Haltenbanger. Or Steven.
Hey, how's everybody?
We're good. I'm a big fan. I pulled out right before the show, I pulled out my old original bottle of Advanced Research Hans Nieper Lithium Orotate. Now, it's not the same lithium orotate that I've had here forever. I keep refilling it. But, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Hans Nieper research, not just the orotate, but all sorts of that. So I was excited when I saw that in your bio that we're, you know, talking about as a foundational thing. He was such a radical thought leader about micronutrients and importance. What? How did you get to Hans Nieper? I mean, what was your why did you go there?
I was exposed to his research by a friend of mine who was a doctor and an attorney. I used to do expert witnesses for doctors at times when they were, you know, called before, you know, for different types of lawsuits. Because I'm an investigative medical doctor. I do a lot of research and readings and write reports and set up research studies. And I came across his work about 30 years ago. And started a dialogue with him, and I got invited to go over to Germany and trained. And I've been using his products for around 30 years with literally thousands of people because they repair the electrical properties of the body. And the reason that's important is the electrical properties of the body control the biochemical properties. So you cannot really get well unless that something is helping repair those electrical properties of the cells.
And how much of that did you learn in straight Western, you know, when you were getting your medical degree, how much of that did you really learn through teaching in the traditional schools, not on your own research, because I know you're a research dog, but I mean, how much of that was you, how did you figure that out?
It has to do with foundational information. You know, I have a chemistry background, a professional chemistry, not a pre-med chemistry. I did pathology. And then I went into basically neurochemistry. And so my background was studying the chemical properties and biochemical properties of the body. I became exposed 32 years ago to the work of Robert O. Becker in The Body Electric. And he made a statement in there that the electrical properties of the body control the biochemical properties of the body. And that just woke me up. And I'm saying, I spent the last few years of my life training how to work the chemistry. I need to study the bioelectric properties. So I started going to conferences and reading books, and I wound up with about 15,000 medical books over the last 30 years. I have this huge library, which I'm now consolidating down because most everything's electronic. I don't need to carry all the paper anymore. But it's just a massive amount of work, but it's in biophysics literature, it's in chemistry literature, it's in molecular cell biology literature, and it's not in the medical literature yet.
Yes.
How do you think we can get it there?
It has to do with people integrating the information and as well as, you know, writing papers, writing books, getting the information out in a way that they can distill information from other areas and then combine it as synthesis. What we're looking at is a synthesis of information from more than one field, and people can see that, and they say, oh, yeah, okay, I never thought about that. Then they get curious. What you're looking for is the small percentage of the population that has curiosity. Most medical doctors are more technicians, and there are very few medical doctors who are scientists. But there are a number of them who are curious. So if you can get awaken the curiosity to look at things, you can often open the door. And then what we try to do is help them have an epiphany. And, you know, my epiphany was when I read that sentence about the electrical properties controlling the chemistry. And you want each person to try to get to an epiphany. Sometimes it's an epiphany from something they read, and sometimes it's an epiphany from something they see or experience. And I've worked with so many doctors over the years. Basically, my lectures are for doctors. I've been lecturing to doctors for 30 years now.
You said bioelectrical.
Yes.
Explain what bioelectrical is in maybe ancient terms, esoteric terms, conventional terms. So
okay.
Our
Let's start with
bring
ancient.
All together.
All right. The ancient, everybody's heard of acupuncture and acupuncture meridians. They say there's this chi energy that flows in the body, and it connects different organs together. If you look at the biophysics literature, they're talking about a similar concept. They're talking about biocircuitry, bioelectricity. And you go down and start studying that, you recognize that the cells and tissues of the body have many of the same components in a biological sense as the components in your cell phone and your computers and your laptops. They have conductive materials. The proteins of the bodies are semiconducting as long as they're hydrated. When they get dehydrated, they're not semiconducting. They become resistors. The materials in the cell membrane that make up the cell membrane are biological capacitors. They act as batteries. So you have a power storage area. Then you can move that power from one place to another with the conductive material. And then you have transducer type in the cell membrane are proteins or enzymes and transport proteins, and they have the formation of antennas. They can pick up specific vibrational frequencies, and those specific vibrational frequencies can activate specific biological pathways. So you can actually, example would be, say you give somebody an A flat note, you can actually activate certain chemistry at a cellular level with that A flat note of those cells, of those cell components that are sensitive in an antenna sense to that particular vibrational frequency. And this has been known about for thousands of years in different pieces. The Sanskrit alphabet comes about from people putting sand on like animal skins and then using something like a flute or a pipe and blowing into it, making sounds. And the letters of Sanskrit, an ancient Hebrew, will actually form in pattern on the within the sand when those sounds are intonated. I mean, so the letter A, and you don't want me singing and you don't want me intoning or anything, but I'm sure you could do a better, I know you could do a better job, but if you were to pronounce the letter A properly, which I'm not going to be able to, and you had the right equipment called a tonoscope, you'd actually see the letter A form in sand on a skin.
Huh.
That is absolutely incredible. And I'm thinking about all these stupid words that we have made up in the English language recently, and are we really poisoning ourselves in some way?
Well, we certainly are in a toxic world, and that's a different conversation. We can continue it now or later about toxicity. You mentioned it with Fukushima, but there are tens, hundreds of thousands of other toxins we're exposed to.
Well, you talked about things that can influence these systems. You're talking about sound. Is it more than just a frequency? There has to be something else controlling that frequency that makes it behave in a certain way?
Well, most of my work has been the electromagnetic area. And what they found is the waveform, the amplitude, and the frequency together that has the most specific biological effects. If you have a waveform that is acceptable to biological tissue and you have an amplitude of energy, and what people like Robert O. Becker found is with people using something like microcurrent machinery is the lower the intensity, the better the biological response. And so what people, when they start with, I'm going to use electricity or magnetics, oh, I want to go and, you know, we got to get a real powerful magnetic field. We got to really get in there and really. No. What happens is I got some equipment from NASA, Stennis Spacecraft Center, back in late 90s. And it was called a Jacobson resonator. It was built at the Stennis Spacecraft Center. And it put out a pico-Tesla field, which is a very weak magnetic field. And I did some work with, I did a study with knee pain, arthritic knee pain. And we had fantastic response with getting rid of knee pain in several treatements with this particular piece of equipment. But what I also did was I would put water in the field. I'd go buy gallons of water at the supermarket and stick them in there and let them energize. And then I'd have different frequencies I was using. And I would have people drink the water. And we had one that 70% of the people would always say the same thing. I'd give them a glass of 8 ounces of water. They go, and I say, how you doing? You know, I feel more clear. We actually called it clarity, because 7 out of 10 people would say spontaneously, I feel clear. We had one, it only worked about 30% of the time, but people start spontaneously giggling. I mean, they literally could start laughing uncontrollably. We didn't know why. That's just a couple of examples.
How amazing. I want to jump back for a moment to talking about pollution. And it's around the realm of, so we have these cells which are highly receptive. So you have these little antennas coming, the cell receptor sites, that you can play a note to, and they can receive that. And so they are highly receptive. If all your micronutrients or everything in a line, I mean, it really is an amazing, it's all amazing that it all actually comes together. Now, what happens when you add in things like Wi-Fi, other electromagnetic pollutions, whether it be a, you know, monitor that you're standing in front of, or a cell phone that's near you or in your head, or how does that pollution, that other kind of pollution?
It disrupts the chemistry. I mean, okay. If you want to get down to the simplest thing, the more electromagnetic pollution you have, the more hormonal imbalances you're going to get. It's going to affect the chemistry, and it's going to affect chemistry that's very small. And hormones are usually produced in very small amounts. So you can create adrenal stress with that. You can affect the thyroid in a dysfunctional way. As a matter of fact, when you add pollution into it, there's a lot of pollution in the air coming from China. And it hits the west coast of the United States. And they're having massive amounts of people getting low thyroid because it's damaging the thyroid glands of the people in the west coast of the United States from the pollutants in the air that's coming from China, from the industries in China. And, of course, then the radiation is another issue entirely. But you get down, when you're trying to look at what's happening, stresses on the body, whether they're emotional stress or physical stress, are going to have certain things going to happen. You're going to start losing magnesium and potassium out of your cells. You're going to start losing vitamin C into your urine. You're going to lose some B vitamins into your urine. So a person who's under stress for a period of time, and a good example would be somebody who's working in a very high-powered or a lot of intellectual work, a student or a professor or an executive, and they're stressed, and they get tired at the end of the day, and they get their second or third or fourth cup of coffee, and they're not sleeping well at night. They're going to be magnesium and potassium deficient as well as micronutrient deficient in lots of things. And that's going to affect the electrical properties of the body. It's going to affect the chemistry. It's going to affect their hormones. They're going to age faster. So your answer to your question is this electromagnetic pollution is increasing our aging factor from lots of ways, including the fact that it increases free radical production in the body and antioxidant depletion. So it's aging us faster.
And do you think it could go ahead, Sherry.
No, if you have a follow-up to that, go ahead.
Okay. Do you think it's contributing? I'm not in any way aggressively attacking is not the word I want. You know, going after the cell phone, Wi-Fi, that the electromagnetic industry. I consider it to be pollution, like I consider air pollution or estrogen mimickers in our drinking waters. It's all pollution to me.
It's a matter of being aware. It's a matter of taking precautions. I mean, I don't stand right next to my microwave if I ever use it. I try not to. Occasionally I'll boil some water or something, but I know that it damages the structure of the material, so I don't stand next to a microwave. But, you know, if, for example, that's something you would not want to do. You wouldn't want to put an electrical appliance right by your head and run it, because it's going to affect the electrical properties of your cells in your brain. It's going to affect your EEG. So you have to make good common sense. So, you know, in the ideal world, we would have less electromagnetic pollution, but we don't have that world anymore. And so the body has the ability to tune out, in a sense, a lot of this information and noise. And that's the secret of the body. It's called, they call it whispering between cells. It can actually hear a whisper in a crowded stadium of fans cheering. It can hear that whisper, but you know, it's gonna at times, you know, if other things are not right, and particularly your essential nutrients, if you have a lack of certain essential compounds, there are certain vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and fat that are absolutely essential for the body. They are required. There are no substitutions. When those are missing, and potassium and magnesium are two of them, if you have a lack of those, you're going to start affecting hundreds of enzyme systems in the body. And this is why I started getting into Hans Nieper's work, because he developed methodologies of formulas that actually could put these minerals back into the cells in a specific manner and an effective manner. And they work when other compounds don't. And so, you know, there's this website called NCIAdvancedResearch.com. You mentioned the advanced research. It's called NCIAdvancedResearch.com. They sell as products. So I oftentimes send people there that are interested in getting the real Hans Nieper materials. But you've got to be able to put the material back into the cell in an amount that's not going to disrupt the cell. Well, I could keep going on, but I'm going to let you go to another question.
No, because what you're saying is you can't just throw a handful in there and think that that's going to do it. You really is. To me, it's really amazing that we get up. I mean, the human system, the human body gets up every morning and just motates. I mean, it's a bunch of stuff happening to make that happen. So you're saying we can't just throw a handful of a mineral in there and think, okay, that's it. I'm good to go. You really have to have a sense of balance.
Have you ever been to a concert? Was it a musical concert?
Yes.
Okay. Now, did they have people that were trained to perform the thing? Or did the conductor come out in the audience and say, we're going to have a concert, and I want 100 people to get up on stage and grab an instrument. We're going to get started.
I've been to both kinds, actually, so yes. Yeah.
If you're trying to randomly throw stuff at a body, that's like going to a concert where the first 100 people in the room are your performers.
Right.
You're not going to really hear anything you want to hear. It's going to be a cacophony of noise. And this is what happens with people. Unless they have some method of assessing what components their body needs, they're just throwing dice. You have no idea what's going on. You don't know if you need some more of this or less of that. And that's why I was impressed with Sherry's work. I've known about her for over 20 years, and I have looked at using sound analysis to look at chemistry since about 1999, but I haven't done it in an extensive manner. It's just something that just cycles back through my life every now and then in my research. And I recognize that that's a tool. That's an effective tool for saying, hey, here are some compounds that are showing up really low on your voice print. You might be benefiting by adding these in your diet. Now you have something specific to say, I need some magnesium, I need some B2, I need some vitamin C, instead of saying, what do I need? Multivitamins, in my opinion, are only beneficial to a limited degree because what's called biochemical individuality. Some people need 10 times of one compound and 10 times of less of another. And if everybody has the same size, it's like we only make size 11 shoes, and that's too big for most people and too small for a few.
Yeah,
and if you go to the store and that's the only thing they got, you're pretty much out of luck unless you got size 11 feet.
You've talked to us about there are these frequencies running around the body in each cell, and there's an electromagnetic potential making all these things behave. So, but what influences them? I would like you to finish the sentence. Frequency is.
I'm not sure I follow you on this. I mean, frequency, I think of it as vibration. It's okay, let's start off from this, what I know. Vibration is involved in pattern formation. At the basic level of the structure of the universe, we're looking at energy. There's no matter. It's just basically what I call it's kind of like condensed energy frequencies. Matter is nothing but empty space with that holds energy in a certain pattern, and sound is a basic vibrational frequency. That's pattern formation. And so what happens is the frequencies are involved in the self-reorganization or self-regeneration of the body at the cellular level. When the cell starts dividing, it's creating an electromagnetic field around itself that, in my opinion, and the sound is, it's part of that's in sound waves, that electromagnetic field is involved in the pattern of the structure of how the proteins move, how the RNA and DNA move, how the enzymes act, and what it causes one part of a gene to express, another part of a gene to be silent. And so it's the basic fundamental principle of life, and an organization of all matter is vibration.
So frequency is vibration. Frequency is oscillation. Frequency is DNA. Frequency is proteins. Frequency is shape. Frequency is sound. Frequency is emotion. So
yeah.
We could fit that sentence in many, many ways. So the question I was trying to get at is, what's influencing that system in our body to cause it to go into disarray that you're describing as disease and stress?
You know, I don't know if I have one answer for that. I can tell you that how I approach getting someone well, and maybe that can answer it that way, is the first place I start off with is I build a foundation. What is the foundation of health? The foundation of health is what you put in your mouth. What does the diet consist of? And in that diet has got to be certain critical compounds that are necessary for life, certain vitamins, minerals, fats, amino acids. Okay, so you start there. Next, you have to make sure that the person has the ability to manufacture energy. So I start working at the mitochondrial level. I look at the nutritional aspects of how the mitochondria form energy, how they burn pyruvate, say. And I look at those enzymes. I do laboratory testing, and in the past we've done some sound testing, is looking at the enzymes of energy production. And because you cannot put things together unless energy is available in an uninterrupted supply. So you have to have the materials on hand. If you're building a house, you've got to have the materials on hand. You've got to have an intelligent design, and then you've got to have a power source of energy, whether it's the body strength of the workers or tools that they're using. There's a power source. So there has to be an uninterrupted supply of energy and the material availability. It's through that, and then it has to have an intelligent design. And that's where the frequency comes in, because the intelligent design comes from the electromagnetic emanations that come from the cell membrane and the DNA complex. It's hard to say which one controls which, because I've seen explanations for both. What many people are calling the cell membrane the brain of the cell. But the DNA is more like the muscle, in a sense. It's what generates, you know, other components. But the brains, the intelligence may be in the cell membrane, and its ability to communicate with other cells in surrounding space, and to know its place in space, and to know its function. Because you can take a cell nucleus of a cancer cell and put it in a healthy cell, and you can have, it won't necessarily go to cancer if you have other properties. You can take a healthy cell nucleus, but a cancer cell, it can stay cancerous. So it all depends on other factors than just the genetic aspects of what's happening. So cancer, for example, is a lot more than just the genetics. As a matter of fact, 90% of all cancers are now due to industrial pollution. And this was written a couple of years ago by a United States report, is that they basically said that we feel that 90% of cancers in the United States are due to toxicity and the inability of the body to handle these toxins.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned a while ago, you talked about something that always I bump into as being crucial, You talked about the cells not being able to conduct as well when they're dehydrated. Can you say something that will be magic for people to understand how important being hydrated is? I know you can.
All right. Well, it's a factor of you have three compounds. You have protein or peptides, you have water, and you have minerals. And you got to have good mineralization. Matter of fact, after water, minerals are the most important nutrient of your cells. You can get vitamins from the bacteria in your gut, but you can't get minerals. And so what happens is it's called structuring of water. And the best way I can use is imagine you go to your kitchen drawer and pull out some wax paper or some plastic wrap. It's thinly wrapped rolls of paper on a cardboard tube. If that cardboard tube is a protein, that little wrapping around there is a structuring of water. When you're healthy, when you're going back to a state of health, the water structures just like that, layer after layer after layer of organized water. When you get toxins in your body, when you go into an unhealthy state, when you have all kinds of genetic abnormalities, that structuring is damaged. You no longer have the structuring. If you lose the minerals, you don't have the structuring. So you have to put the minerals back, and then you have to put an energy source back in the body. And this is where you really can make a difference in somebody's life. And there are lots of different energy sources. There's infrared beds, infrared saunas. There's photonic devices, LED devices. There's pulse electromagnetic fields. There's frequency-specific microcurrent. And then there's Sherry's acoustical therapies. Now, the reason I like working this stuff with Sherry is she has a diagnostic aspect as well as a a supportive aspect, I'll use that. So to move the person back toward a state of health. So we can say, here's the problems that we're seeing from a vibrational point of view, and here's the vibrations that we feel will move you toward a state of health. And the way I came in, it says, well, from research I've done the last 30 years, if you provide the missing nutrients that you can identify with your diagnostic part and put that in at the same time you're giving vibrations, you're going to have a faster response. Let me just tell you a quick story. In 1999 to 2000, I did 26 multiple sclerosis patients with that equipment I got at NASA. It was a Jacobson resonator. You know, they were all people that came in and got informed consent. And you know, I told them this was an experimental thing. We're just going to put some low-frequency energy field and see if it would help you. And they said, sure. And so what I did at that time, I was doing laboratory testing. I did a $3,500 panel. That's an expensive laboratory test. I looked at vitamins, minerals, fats, immunological factors, you know, renal function, liver function, heart function, et cetera. Each person, we looked at about, 100, let's say, 110 different compounds. Everybody was different except for two. Everybody was biotin deficient. Everybody was fatty acid deficient with DHA. It's a docohexanoic acid. Now, everybody else was a little different. Somebody needed 7 things. Some people need 12 things. What I did was I'd give them the compounds an hour before I gave them the treatment. Treatment lasted about an hour. So I'd give them the compounds. They'd come in the morning to the clinic. They'd have them bring their vitamins and stuff that we'd ordered. They take them. Then they go into get the treatment, this electromagnetic energy field. We did it for 6 days in a row. We did a neurological, physical exam, laboratory test before we started, and then on the 7th day we repeated that. 100% of them had neurological improvement in 6 days. 100%. Wow. And what really fascinated me was one of the ladies was a professional dancer. She came in with a cane. She could barely walk. One of the things we did was we'd hold her hands and have her lift one of her feet up, see how long she could lift a foot up. She could not hold either foot up for more than a second. On the 7th day, she could hold either leg up for 90 seconds, and she did a one-legged squat and came back up. And I had never seen neurological changes that fast. And what I recognized is that her neurological system had been in a state of hibernation. It wasn't completely destroyed. It was dysfunctional. And what we did was we provided the nutrients and an energy source at the same time, and this helped what's called self-organization or self-regeneration, because no doctor ever gets anybody well. They either get in the way or get out of the way, and the body heals itself. So what we did is we facilitated self-healing.
let's bring a bit of this together, well, just from conventional and bioacoustic. We were working together on a guy that had an irregular heart rate, and the computer program said, it's B1, it's thiamine. And you looked at me and you said, we already know that. We just added that to his vitamin regime. Now, how did you come to know that he needed thiamine?
Well, there's several ways, without sounding like a complete kook. First off, I know the chemistry of the body. And I did an extensive interview with him. And I recognized he was eating a lot of carbohydrates. And when you eat a lot of carbs, the first thing that happens is your body gets B1 deficient, or if you drink a lot of alcohol. And so I said, well, you're probably going to be you're not having the energy you need. He was taking a nap in the afternoon. He wasn't feeling good. And I said, well, one of the things that happens is called the pyruvate dehydrogenase complex, and it needs B1. It needs lipoic acid. It needs a couple of B3 and a couple of other vitamins, which come to me in a minute. And I said, well, I think probably this may be an issue for you, and so I want to give you B1. And so we decided to start him on a B1, and then we went up on that dose. And now, there's other ways you could have tested him, too. Some people use applied kinesiology, and that has up and down possibilities on whether it's value, has value or not. But, you know, sometimes you use some information from it. But I rely more on laboratory testing. But, you know, I looked at his laboratory test and look at his enzyme profiles. And between that and the assessment I made, I had come up with the fact that he needed B1. And then you come up the next a couple of days later and say, you need B1. So it kind of confirmed what I had figured out from the theoretical point of view.
I think it's much easier to just take a vocal print than it is to take all the blood and pay $3,500 to get all the panel. So that's where I was going with that idea. You went a conventional way in looking at the chemistry, and I just punched a few buttons and got the information.
Well, that's why I'm excited about your technology, because it's what's called a disruptive technology. If this could be investigated in an adequate manner, and I mean completely and utterly scientific investigated by people that are completely skeptical, I think they would find there's tremendous validity to what you've been doing and discovering over the years. Because I've been using it I've been aware of this for many years, and I am aware of how valuable it is. As a matter of fact, we had a prototype thing developed by a Navy sonar, PhD sonar guy, who was a scientist in the Navy, developed this funky program, and he and I were playing around with it for a couple of years. And I was able to diagnose every thyroid condition that came in my office with that. And I would see that, say, oh, this looks like thyroid. Then I order the lab test. Yep, thyroid. See another one? This looks like a thyroid problem. Order the lab test. Yep, thyroid. Now, I wasn't that good in reading anything else because I didn't have a computer basis. It was just a printout, and I was scanning this thing. But I was able to pick out a pattern after looking at a number of them and also comparing them to laboratory tests I'd already done. So I was able to pick out that. But you have a computerized system that is able to do something, you know, that I was never able to do when I was working with just a sheet of paper.
Do you think that maybe since this is a disruptive technology and sort of goes against the grain, goes against somebody's pocketbook, goes against somebody's reputation, that's why we're having trouble getting people to think about change your aura, change your disease, change your energy, change your chemistry?
I think a lot of it has to do with the words that are used, the language. Are you using a language that people can accept? You know, a lot of times when you start talking, here's what happens when people are trying to belittle something. They pick the worst example. Let's say if they want to go to the South and they want to take they find some hillbilly from the South that has no front teeth and no T-shirt and barefoot, and they interview them and say, here's a typical individual from the South giving his opinion on this earthquake problem or this hurricane that came through here. And my name's Sam Smith, and I just want to tell you one thing. These darn Southerners, these darn Northerners came down here, and they caused that hurricane. They caused that tornado. You know, some nutcase out there. And so they picked the worst case of it. And the same thing happens in any field. If you get lumped in the paranormal field, then you're going to be along with the worst, you know, worst examples of ghost hunters or charlatans. And so that's how they belittle you, is they say, well, this is exactly this. And that's not what you are. You're a scientist. Whether I don't know how you want to see yourself, but I see you as a scientist. And so what I like to see is to talk in scientific terms and talk in terms that people can understand. Not everybody knows what the biofield is. The biofield is an energetic field that extends out from your body about 15 feet. The heart creates a magnetic field that's 5,000 times stronger than the brain's magnetic field. They have measured the magnetic field of the body with something called a squid interferometer in 1971. And you influence a person unconsciously, vibrationally, where they're within 15 feet of you. They influence you. There's an exchange of energy and frequencies if you're in a room with another person, and you can start feeling good or you can start feeling bad depending on how that energetic exchange takes place. And this is proven. If you put people in a closed space for a long period of time and they're compatible, their heart rates will begin to synchronize. Their brain waves will begin to synchronize. Their menstrual cycles will begin to synchronize if they're female. I don't know that men's menstrual cycles ever synchronize. They're just never going to get there. But the point is, people can go into harmonious or disharmonious states depending on the proximity another person's biofield.
Well, I was trying to get something about a biofield a little bit ago when I said frequency is, finish this sentence. Frequency is shape, as far as I'm concerned. And when I came to this meeting, and I have a broken back, and many people know that, and it gives me trouble sometimes. And I'd just driven 16 hours. My back was a little uncomfortable, and you noticed it. And you said, well, let me try something. And you brought out this little round thing that looked like a mandala, and you stuck it on two places in my back. And I could feel, and I didn't believe you, I could feel the energy start to move. And within a couple of minutes, that stress in my back disappeared. How does that frequency work?
I've done 4,000 people with those. Those are called life wave patches, LIFEWAVE patches. Those are called ice wave. It's lifewave.com for those that want to look it up. And I've gotten 4,000 people out of pain. They're a positive and negative patch. They composed of the frequencies are due to stereoisomers. These are special chemicals that are optically active. So they're using light frequencies. And, you know, light is just a harmonic that's higher in frequency than sound. You can take a sound frequency and multiply it to get a harmonic that's in the light range, or you can take a light frequency and divide it by two to get down to a frequency in the sound range. But this actually uses the body's own infrared heat to activate an infrared signal. So it's more like an infrared laser going into your body. But it's the power source is the human body. And so, like I said, I've gotten 4,000 people out of pain, and I've done 72 research studies on that technology, or involved in 72 research studies on that technology. So it is a fabulous technology. I don't know why that company's not a billion-dollar company. I really don't, because they have a pain control technology that can actually get people out of pain when nothing else works. So it's just fascinating to me.
And is the idea of that it's so you put this patch on Sherry, and it's picking up her energy field and being stimulated to radiate those stereoisomers or light frequencies back into her system. So that's in turn then affecting or getting the cells into an entrained state of being out of pain?
Yes, yes. It's very difficult to say exactly. I believe it's working on ion channels, opening and closing ion channels. But the issue, what it does is the body is what's called a black body radiator. It puts out all kinds of frequencies of infrared. And there's been research that's been going on. NASA's done it. The Navy's done it. All kind of people all over the world has now put out LED phototherapy devices, and the FDA now allows them to use them for pain control as well as for wound healing, because they work for both. And these are specific frequencies of light that will affect wound healing and specific frequencies of light that will affect pain control. And so what the inventor David Schmidt did with LifeWave patches was he came up with a way of putting organic electronic materials in a patch that will be absorb body heat and will generate specific wavelengths of energy or specific frequencies of energy back into the body. And by changing the and so what he does is I call it a nano crystal matrix antenna. He puts a solution of organic materials, and there's a piece of cloth in there, or what's called Pellon. This material will crystallize out just like you would have a sleet on a chain link fence. So if you had an ice storm and you went out the next morning, the chain link fence or the chicken wire fence is just covered with ice. Well, at a microscopic level, that's what happens with this material. So it becomes an antenna. So you have a crystallized nano antenna, and since it's a nano antenna, the wavelengths are going to be specific to those of light.
Do you have to have a specific frequency for a specific healing or a specific body?
Yeah, by using different organic materials, it gets different organic effects. So he has a material that will improve fat burning, increase energy, and has a material that will increase antioxidants in the body. And he has another one that will reduce, that will change the autonomic nervous system and go into a relaxation state. Another one that puts you to sleep, makes you sleep better. But, you know, there's the issues are, this is just technology. This is just science that somebody has applied it to a commercial product. He's taken different scientific principles and information and put it together in a commercial product and delivered a very effective pain control technology. If nothing else, one of the things he does, he's a very generous individual. He donates hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of this technology to the Purple Heart Association every year. These are wounded veterans that just don't have much money, and to get them out of pain. He gives hundreds of thousands of dollars of his technology to the Purple Heart Association of the United States. And these people, I've been to some of their meetings. They come up crying to thank me how much these people have helped them, that nothing else had ever worked. I mean, I've seen people that have lost their legs and have phantom limb pain and never had any results with pain medication, had results with this. So it's an interesting technology. It's cool. It's very cool.
It sounds incredible. One of the things that we did a long time ago and swore them to secrecy was when the cosmonaut had an irregular heart, and we knew the frequency to put the heart back into stress when it was mechanical. But we only needed a frequency, and they had whatever was they needed up in the space place. I need to know more. We need to do some comparisons. I think we could help each other, and this is what we find in the voice, and this is what's being delivered by these wonderful, and it's LifeWave, for all of you asking questions, LifeWave.com. Thank you, Judy, for looking that up. I just think that is incredible. I'm astounded that they're not a $1 million company, too. But we have a question from the audience. Do we need to fix each cell, each organ, the electrical system, the magnetic system? What is needed to go into an optimal field coherence?
Well,
I think it's a great question.
I like that question. I give lectures. It takes me about eight hours to answer that. So I'm going to give it about a 30-second shot. I literally have a lecture that discusses that whole thing, but it takes all day long. The first thing you have to do is start repairing the electrical properties of the cell membrane. And I use Hans Niebuhr mineral transporters. You go to NCIAdvancedResearch.com. NCIAdvancedResearch.com, and you look for something called 2-AEP calcium or membrane complex, which is very similar. Membrane complex is potassium, magnesium, and calcium AEP, and calcium AEP is by itself. So what that does is it puts a layer of minerals on the exterior surface of the cell membrane, and it incorporates a fatty material that seals the cell membrane. And then you use that in conjunction with, say, magnesium arginate or an orotate. So you can use magnesium arginate or magnesium orotate or calcium arginate. Use a combination of mineral transporters. I usually use at least three. I use like a calcium, a magnesium, and then like a membrane complex. And what I do is I repair the electrical properties of that cell membrane, or start repairing it. And then I also make sure they got good fatty acids in their diet. I want to make sure they've got some adequate amount of fatty acids, because I've got to repair the cell membrane. And when I repair the cell membrane, if I give them fatty acids, they got to take antioxidants to protect those fatty acids. So now you're taking a spectrum of antioxidants. You're taking essential fatty acids. You're taking the three mineral transporters of Hans-Nieper, a calcium, a magnesium, and either another magnesium or another calcium mineral transporter. You're repairing that cell membrane. Now the cell can intelligently communicate with other cells. Now the cell can actually reestablish a normal, renormalize the electromagnetic field properties of itself. And that has biological effects that are very widespread. So you start changing the chemistry, and that starts moving you toward a state of health. I think you would probably see, if you had the right, I've used electronic equipment to look at coherence of the tissues. We did this back in 2004 and 2005, looking at coherence of seven different frequencies through the connective tissues. And as we applied different technologies, different nutrients, we could actually see the tissues go toward a state of coherence. And we had one person who was a Qigong master that we put on this on the system, and we put on a set of energy patches. She went into complete coherence. So she needed was a little bit more energy at that particular frequency. But I used the LifeWay patches in conjunction with the nutrients, and I help move the body toward a state of coherence. So there's other things to do, and like I said, it's a long lecture, but you got to start repairing the cell membrane electrical properties. And you can look up my name. There's a paper called The Electrical Properties of Cancer Cells on the web that explains in quite a bit of detail how the normal electrical properties of the cells are formed. It's called The Electrical Properties of Cancer Cells by Steve Haltwanger. Now, there's a whole bunch of information on cancer in there, but your interest is in how to repair the normal electrical properties. Over.
I am just astounded at the amount of information that comes out of your mouth. The people in the audience are just flabbergasted. So I wasn't going to make this announcement till the very end, but I'm going to make it now, that Dr. Haltwanger has become impressed with bioacoustics, and he has agreed to help us put a class together so that our bioacoustic providers, people who have trained with us, can attend one of his day-long lectures about what do I do with the information I found. And I am just astounded that he would agree to do that. Thank you, Richard, for putting that in. He put your thing to your article in. I was trying to, but I couldn't do two things at once. And I think if all of us who are working in these realms of sound and frequency and information about the body, if we'd all get together, I think we could elevate the human being to the point where the body is not a stumbling block anymore, and that we become a collective mind that can move us forward. And the other stumbling block I see is, even though we have the information, our body sometimes has the pieces left out that allow us to use it. I'm having trouble losing weight. So I think if I would take the time, I know I have the time, I just won't take it, to work on myself and get myself in order, I'd have more energy to help work with other people. So I am so honored to have you on this show, and double, triple, 10 times honored to have you embrace bioacoustics to the point that I just think it's going to go flying into the world of self-healing.
Well, maybe we can come back another time and discuss detoxification and toxicity issues, because that's something we touched on, but there's a lot of information we didn't explore.
Well, I
have questions.
Do you want to go over?
We could go a couple minutes over, but I think for that, I think the doctor's right that we really need a whole different show to talk about detoxification and pollution. And, you know, it's almost, for me, back to the beginning of the show, where I think that between the stuff that's going on from the EPA being wiped out by this new regime and everything else, the toxic load that our system is going to be exposed to is not going to get better. It's going to get more aggressive. It's going to get worse. And I think we really need to dedicating a show to talking about detox and how to balance that out and make ourselves as strong as possible. Go ahead.
Let me just say this one thing. The body has what's called labor phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, and even phase 4 detoxification pathways. Guess what it needs to detox? When you have chemicals and toxins, you got to have all the B vitamins. You got to have some vitamin C. You got to have some vitamin D. You got to have a whole bunch of minerals. You got to have certain amino acids. All these are essential compounds. So what happens if a person is exposed constantly to, say, aluminum in their water supply? They're drinking tap water, has a lot of aluminum in it. Or they're breathing the air that from downstream of a waste incinerator. They get a lot of mercury. So the issue is they're going to be depleted in those nutrients that detoxify those chemicals. This is where the sound therapy, sound bioacoustic assessment might have a value, because you may be able to go in and say, oh, these are the nutrients in that detoxification pathway that are missing for you. That's why I like looking at the technology that gives you a simple answer without having to spend $3,500.
And
need to have come back for detox. I want to know more.
Absolutely. There's a lot of, you know, we could just sit down and, you know, have deck chairs and have a really long conversation between detox and, you know, as Stephen just said, the idea of having, you know, using this, your tech, Sherry, to have a daily, you know, get into that ritual of doing a vocal print every day. That's the exciting thing to me about the portal getting active, is the idea of being able to people just do a daily vocal print. Boom, there's your vocal print. See where you are. See what you can consume throughout the day. Do another vocal print. See how your body thinks. Not just what your head thinks, but what your body is going, yeah, that was not quite right. That it gives us a really great tool without having to go in and, you know, do that $3,500 worth of tests. It's really, it's, you know, of such a strong positive tool.
Go ahead.
Say it again. I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Want y'all to know I totally behave. Usually I would tell a joke at least one time in a radio interview.
Well, I want to take up some of your time. I want to put those four detox pathways up on the portal so people can check themselves every day.
All right, we'll have to work that up. I'm moving my office this month, so it'll probably be April before I can really get down to that. But I'll start working on some slides.
That would be phenomenal.
Wow. Okay, do you work with people? Do you see people as a physician now? Do you have time for that?
I do an online or a phone consultation service. I charge $250 an hour for people that call me up and say, okay, I want to schedule an hour with you, and I do it by appointment only. And I'll talk to them. I'll interview them, and I do it just from a nutritional point of view. I'm not treating you as a doctor. I'm treating you as a consultant for nutrition. The fact that I am a medical doctor and a neurologist and psychiatrist is not the issue. The issue is I'm not taking them on as a medical case. I'm basically just trying to give them some nutritional suggestions based on what they're telling me, and give them some guidance on where to go to for answers.
That's a lot. Right there. That's a great thing. Boy, I'll be emailing you.
Okay.
Just for an hour. I mean, for the hour of, you know, the amount of information and the way you communicate the information, it'd be really valuable to have that kind of input. I'm really looking forward to the you and Sherry together, and the languaging that you use, like talking about biofields and just the way you express it, is such a positive direction for the field of bioacoustics. I think the two of you have a great marriage going, or relationship, or whatever that's called. I think it's excellent.
I think a friendship's a good term.
Thank you. All right, there we go. All right. Any other thoughts, Sherry, before we're further over?
No, I am full and wanting more.
Okay, yeah, we'll
right,
be talking.
Can I close with this?
Soon. Yes.
All right, two cannibals are eating a clown. One looks at the other and says, "Does this taste funny to you?"
Oh, I wish I had a sound effect for that. That's excellent. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, everybody, have a great rest of the week. And I know we're talking to somebody on Sunday, but I don't know who right now. So have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you on Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye.